Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And a 17-time NBA All-Star, the third highest score in NBA history, the 2008 MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP, five-time NBA champion, a 6'6 guard from Lower Merion High School, number 24, Kobe Bryant.
Yep. Matt Cord there, the final game.
Oh, man.
Let's give you a chance to win $1,000. Text the following word, TORCH, to 72881. Text the word TORCH, T-O-R-C-H, to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. For rules or to enter online, visit entercomcontest.com. TORCH to 72881. Good luck. We'll do it again tomorrow at 3 and 4 o'clock every day with Marks and Reese at 3 and 4 o'clock. Kobe Bryant, 1996, leaves Lower Merion High, goes to the NBA. The rest is history. Jeremy Treatman was an assistant coach on those Lower Merion teams, and he joins us right now. Jeremy, good to talk to you again, brother. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jeremy.
I know the reaction from everybody was the same, but what was Kobe like in high school? We actually spoke to a cheerleader before that said Kobe was just your run-of-the-mill, going to the NBA star player that was kind of like everybody else. But what were your interactions with him like?
Well, he was a normal kid, except when it came to basketball, because he was the most driven person I've ever met, and he was the hardest working kid I've ever seen, and that work ethic. He would come to the gym so early in the morning that the janitor stopped letting him in. They gave him a key. So he'd come in about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning and take 1,000 shots. And I know Coach Downer and the staff was fine with it. He just was always working, and we'd have a 3-hour practice, never took a play off. He never lost a drill. He never lost a race. He never lost a suicide. He took everything so seriously. So on the basketball side, he wasn't normal. He was driven. His motto was strive for excellence, strive for a state championship. And I don't think the other 14 kids knew. And I think Coach Downer, Coach Egan, myself, maybe Coach Kaiserman and Coach Drew, which is Greg Downer's brother, we all thought we could win a state championship. But he was the only player who kind of understood the situation. And he made sure that happened. He instilled the confidence in the rest of his teammates, and he worked so hard. And I've never seen anybody like it. I mean, being on the media side the 3 years before that and being a family friend before that, I never saw the side of Kobe Bryant. So we had a practice that was canceled once, and 14 kids were jumping up and down and were hysterically happy. They were leaving at 4 o'clock, and Kobe Bryant was slamming the ball against the wall saying, "We got to practice. This is ridiculous. We need the gym. Why are we giving the gym to the girls? We got to practice." So that's what Kobe Bryant was like.
Wow.
Sounds like Kobe.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a guy who's 10 years in the NBA already, not a high school kid, to have that type of drive and work ethic. Coach, you touched on it a little bit about his impact on his teammates. And just if you can get into that a little bit more, just about Kobe as a teammate, as a practice player, as a guy that was able to raise the level of his teammates and get them to believe that you all could win a state title. What was that process like? And for the players to be able to buy in as opposed to, I guess, be turned off by what could be viewed as a maniac work ethic that everybody doesn't have, especially at that early age in their lives.
Well, that's a great question, Ike, because there was a gray area, and I think Coach Downer deserves a ton of credit in this as well. We had a big speech when we were down in South Carolina. We started out 4-3, and I believe between Coach Downer and Kobe Bryant and everybody speaking out after we lost our last game, we ended up winning 27 straight games. I think the kids understood that they had to play at a certain level and try at a certain level and practice at a certain level led by Kobe Bryant, if your number one player in America is working his tail off and he's showing up 3 hours before practice and he's practicing 10 hours extra on his own, I think it was that was instilled into his teammates, and his teammates saw it, and they knew they had no excuse not to put in the effort themselves. Now, the other side of that coin is, does that intimidate these players? Does right. that make it difficult for them? And I don't think it did. In the beginning, it might have been a little bit of a challenge because some of those kids didn't really understand what was at stake. But I'm telling you, after December, it was the most focused, singular group. And, you know, I'll always be proud of Coach Downer and Kobe Bryant for making that all happen and getting all the kids to believe in it. Kobe figured out a way to get the best of those teammates, and he stayed up and he stayed positive. And I thought he was a great teammate. And I think by winning all those drills and winning all those races and taking everything so seriously and but still being lighthearted when he needed to be, I think all the kids just really understood, and they really got behind Kobe, and they wanted to be part of this. They wanted to be part of something special. They realized they were playing with somebody who was going to be in the NBA and going to be a superstar. They started to understand more and more as the season went along.
Talking to Jeremy Treatman, who was on the staff and assistant coach with Kobe Bryant at Lower Merion. Jeremy, how good did you think he could be? Right? Like, I remember, obviously, as a local kid that was just a year older than Kobe, you knew he was going to be really good. You just didn't know if he was going to go to – could he go to LaSalle? Was he going to go to Duke? Was he going to go one of the other programs? But we figured he was going to be really good. I don't think I ever thought he was going to be one of the best players to ever play. What did you guys – what did the coaches think? What did you think how good he was going to be?
Well, I don't want to give away Coach Downer's secrets, but when he was just in the ninth grade – and, you know, I was just a family friend and a friend of the Lower Merion program, and I was coaching the Norbert League summer team at the time. And I was actually, you know, just like you guys, I was in the media and I was covering them for the Inquirer and the Inquirer High School Sports Show, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember we had a conversation, and he said, Coach Egan, the coaches, you, me, we understand Michael Jordan's in our gym, but nobody else does. So we knew at 13 and 14 that we had Michael Jordan in our gym. But nobody else did. And it took 3 years for people to kind of understand. And part of the reason I believe that was is that we played in the Central League. So no knock on Haverford High or Conestoga or Marple Newtown or Radnor or any of these teams that we played. But when right. Kobe Bryant scoring 30 points or 10 rebounds and 5 blocks against these teams, it wasn't impressing the people in Philadelphia. It wasn't impressing the people nationally. They just didn't understand how good he was until he blew up in 11th grade and he blew up at the ABCD camp in the summer of 11th grade and became the number one player. And he passed Jermaine O'Neal and Lester Earl and Mike Bibby and Tim Thomas and all these other great players. So I think it took a long time for the Philadelphia media and people around here, even just fans, to understand greatness was right there in their backyard, and they just didn't understand it. But I'm going to go on the record as saying we did understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yep. I mean, because you get a chance to watch him. I imagine that as a coach, right, what was that like to – know how much to push him versus, you know, when are you allowing him to, you know, because he's already a tireless worker. Did you feel the need to push him, or do you feel like you got to tell him to pull back a little bit so that he doesn't overwork himself? What was that like as a coach to have to sort of balance? How do you coach a kid with this level of talent?
Well, I'd have to say I want to say two things about that. First of all, Coach Downer and Coach Mike Egan and Coach Jimmy Kaiserman and Coach Drew Downer had much more impact on that than I did. I was a coach there, sort of be the liaison between the media and helping Kobe out, and also coaching the ninth grade team and scouting all of our games. So I can't get into Coach Downer's mind on that one, exactly how he pulled the strings, but Coach Downer has a magical touch in everything he did that season, and he's had a magical touch his whole career. He's been to 5 state championship games and he's won 3. I mean, Lower Merion's the second winningest program in the state of Pennsylvania among big public schools. So I would say that the amazing part was, as great as Kobe Bryant was, and that Joe Bryant was also around, Kobe Bryant never said boo to anything Coach Downer said, and he always was behind him. And I think that was the key to the success. So he let Kobe Bryant be, he let Kobe Bryant handle the ball, he let Kobe Bryant take the shots. But when he had to call plays, he did it, and Kobe listened. When we had to do certain defenses, and he told the team, and he told Kobe specifically, this is what I want you to do, front the post, Kobe did it. I never saw Kobe once ever dispute anything that Coach Downer or the coaching staff asked him to do.
Jeremy, Kobe had an impact on a lot of people's lives. Would you say he had a big impact on your life?
I would say he had a huge impact on my life because the strive for excellence, the work ethic. He once told me, you talk the talk, you walk the walk. He said, you say something, you got to back it up. You want something, you got to go get it. Somebody is a detractor, and I know this was more later in his life and maybe his decision to go from high school to NBA, said, let it fuel your fire. Everything this kid told me he was going to do, he did. Everything he said was going to happen, happened. And everything he believed, I think, came true. So I believe a 17-year-old kid taught a 30-year-old coach way more than the other way around. He was polished. He was mature. He was confident. I was a young 30-year-old, you know, just hanging on the staff and being part of this experience and being on the journey. So I think he helped me get the confidence to start the play-by-play classics and start the sports broadcasting camps and to become a successful person. So I give him way, way more credit. I certainly didn't do much for him, but he did a ton for me.
Yeah. Jeremy, appreciate it, man. Good.
Thank you.
Good to hear the stories.
Thank you, guys. It's a very, very sad time. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It's Jeremy Treatman.
Yeah.
It is indeed.
Yeah, I would imagine people like Jeremy that obviously got a chance to be with Kobe on an intimate level. No, it's tough for a lot of people who knew the Bryant family personally. You know, we know him through obviously watching him and cheering for him, and you know, we grieve and obviously for the families, but also because we feel like we're losing a part of us that meant
Absolutely.
A lot to us. And so but that's why we're here to help those out there be able to talk our ways through this. And I've been doing this job for 12 and a half, almost 13 years now, and I've had the misfortune or fortune, however you want to look at it, I look at it as just it's part of this
part
job.
Of it. Yep.
But we've lost some iconic people in Philadelphia. And obviously Harry K, you talk about Doc, we've done these shows. You know, John Marzano, I've done these shows where these sports figures in this town have had such a great impact on so many people around here. And even though Kobe didn't necessarily spend his professional career here, the fact that he was from this area, grew up in this area, and there are so many people that he touched along the way during that time, it hits differently. He's younger. It's unexpectedly. It's a lot like what happened with Doc, where you just didn't expect it, and it's a tragic, and it, like, man, and so many questions out there. And I know Spike said this to us earlier, and I'm gonna say it on the air because I hope nothing, like, more details will come out about what happened, what led up to it, what have you, and I just hope that we don't have to do some more other type of discussion of negligence or something where this could have been avoided other than had you just listened to the warning signs out there, maybe that trip could have been avoided.
Yeah, or shouldn't. Yeah,
should have been avoided.
Should
have been avoided when you hear that, what, police helicopters?
They wouldn't fly in.
They wouldn't even fly.
Their protocol is they have to have a certain amount of visibility, otherwise it's unsafe, but yet this pilot went out there. I mean, everything is kind of pointing to pilot error, and I know that there were, from what I was reading, the route trying to get to the accident scene and to recover remains and things like that. It's just... You know, and it's tough because it's Kobe, it's his daughter, it's the other seven people that were also on the ride. You know, just trying to go to a basketball game.
Unbelievable! The day after the Lakers played here, LeBron passes Kobe. So we know Kobe is in everybody's mind right now.
LeBron's paying.
Watch Saturday night. So that whole tribute thing. Man.
Makes me sick to my
stomach.
Man,
that's why I couldn't believe you. It didn't seem real yesterday. It still doesn't seem real. It's almost like you've been walking around in a fog for the last 20-plus hours, man. It's
Today for me is much more difficult to deal with.
Yeah,
And just because all the stories that are coming out and the videos and the Kimmel video that's out there and the video of Kobe and Gianna sitting courtside and some other videos that come out with him and his daughter, just pictures of him and his daughter. There's a video that's out there right now. He's explaining why he takes the helicopter rides because it helps him see his family more. It cuts down on travel.
Yeah, anybody been out to L.A., you know what that traffic is.
Yeah.
405.
So he's able to get home for dinner and whatever else. So,
And I'm happy. Listen, I didn't know at first, and that's what I was sort of waiting to hear. He wasn't flying the helicopter.
No.
Because that was my thought process. Like, hold on, is he flying this thing?
No, and I actually just saw that this is I guess it's a helicopter that you just more or less, it's a company and you're booking.
Sure,
it's like
yeah.
almost calling a cab or something
and
like that.
For nine people, it had to be
right.
a pretty big helicopter.
Right. So apparently one of the Jenners frequently uses this helicopter in this company. So it's like if you have money and you're in Southern California, this is how some people get from place to place.
Yeah.
It's tragic. Mm. Let's go to Davon in Newark, Delaware. Davon, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right. What's going on, Davon?
I lost my hero, man. Well, first of all, just condolences to everyone that was lost in the tragedy. But I lost a hero, man. Not just basketball. Just there's so many things in life I emulated just to work hard as Kobe did. Just to put that much, into something and if your name is going to be on it, do it to your best. And that's something that instilled with me with anything I did, not just basketball, anything in life, just knowing and seeing and being able to witness that from Kobe. It just really it was a huge part of my life, man. It's just, you just don't understand, how much someone that you never met means to you until something like this happens. The one thing that I'm so grateful for, Kobe, he had, so many more, things to be, rewarded for. But I'm just so glad he got to smell some of his roses while he could.
Yeah.
His farewell tribute is, going out the last game. He put up 60 points. It wasn't about 60 points. It was just about winning with Kobe. Mm-hmm. But just to watch that and see the determination and will each and every time you stepped on the court, it just empowered people who didn't even play sports. You didn't do anything. You just seen it. And I'm just so thankful that I was able to grow up and learn from that man. And he will always be a part of my life. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. It's odd. You're a former athlete. I think for like me, just regular dude, I think it's hard for people that aren't big sports fans, maybe music fans can understand, but for somebody that you don't know and that you had never met, the impact that they had on your life for however many different reasons, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I think Kobe is looking down right now, being like, wow, I really made an impact on a lot of people's life. I don't know if he realized how much of an impact he made on so many people.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up musicians as well, because to have these type of deaths, for me, it was Magic announcing that he had HIV. And back then in 1991, that was a death sentence. So to me, it was basically Magic announcing that he's going to be dying in this short
while. Listening to WIP and Howard. And Howard went off the air and said that Magic Johnson's going to retire from basketball because of the AIDS virus.
HIV, yeah. And most of us thought,
He's
going to be dead in 6 months.
Yep.
So that was the first time it hit my heart. Then as a youngster, Tupac being killed in the mid-90s, for someone who listened to his music as much as I did,
people were devastated.
I was shocked at that. Somebody that's my age or a little older than I was that I looked as an influence on me, that was a shock. Then you had the Michael Jackson, right? You had Aaliyah. Whitney Houston, like some of these people who you feel like helped shape your childhood, whether it's listening through music or through sports.
I'm sure Tupac, who his lyrics and the depth of his lyrics you really connected with as a young black man.
Before he did the music after he got shot, when it became a lot more hateful and revengeful type of music, when he was doing a lot of social conscience music, sure. And you know, for young black males and for women, you know, it was resonating with the youth at that time. And then you, like I said, you talk about Michael Jackson passing away. I think it was 2010 when he died. That hit you hard. And then now I've had other athletes since then, but man, none that I think I cared about as much as Kobe.
This will hit more than I think any other.
I didn't get Pac for 20 years. I only got Pac for 5 years.
Yeah.
He died at 25.
Yeah, I can't. Jack, can you?
I got 20 years of Kobe.
Is there a comp to this to where, like, this will always be, like, you'll always remember it, right? Like, it's so odd. Ironically enough, Gianna had.
JFK.
JFK. You don't want to compare it to 9/11.
I didn't mean JFK. The son. What was the son?
His son, John Jr.?
John Jr., yes.
Mm-hmm.
He had a plane crash.
It was crazy. Yeah. But I had just – my daughter Gianna was up from a nap after a short nap, and then I was walking upstairs when I got the text message to get my other daughter who was waking up, and I picked her up and I took her out of her crib, and I said to my wife, I said, I think Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash. Uh-huh. And she said, what? And I go, it's got to be – it can't be real. It's got to be a hoax. It's got to be. Then I went to the TMZ website, and it was, we're experiencing technical difficulties because about 10 million people went there, too. It wasn't a hoax.
My son told me I didn't believe him. Snapped at him because, obviously, he just said my favorite guy died in a plane crash. Are you crazy? Right?
You knucklehead. That's not right.
Yeah,
you don't know what you're talking about.
I said, where'd you hear that at? You know, one of his buddies just told him it was on TMZ. He had tweeted it out or whatever. And I'm like, dude, like, get out of here with that. You don't believe everything you read, right? But then some told me to go to social media. And when I went to Twitter, it was right when everybody was just finding out. So you had more tweets saying,
this can't be real. That's what I saw
this
first,
can't
too.
Be true.
Yep.
And then when I told my wife, who I've known since I was 19, so she knows the love that I have for this dude to where it's nauseating to her at times. I told her, and I left immediately.
Right.
Like, I needed to go out and literally.
Needed a few minutes.
I needed to get out. I wanted to be able to clear my thoughts and.
Well, you process it.
Process what the hell I was just told.
That's the problem is today.
I couldn't believe it.
Today I've processed everything. And what I've processed is that Kobe's dead and so is his 13-year-old daughter. And
yep.
I can't look anywhere without seeing both of their faces, and it kills me. 888-729-9494, Marks and Reese, 888-729-9494. We'll come back with some phone calls. It's a sad day.
It is, man.
It's a sad day for a lot of people out there, and we're here from you. We've heard some classmates. We heard from former coaches, and we want to hear from you. 888-729-9494, Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. But hey, Eagles fans, Ike, we've talked about this. Amazon and NFL Films are coming out with Season 5, All or Nothing, on Prime Video, and it covers the 2019 season of
Philadelphia Eagles.
Emmy Award-winning series is an all-access, behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to compete in the winner-takes-all world of the NFL. You can take an inside look at the incredible tough journey through the eyes of the players, the coaches, and their families. Yep.
Oh, the families, too, a little behind-the-scenes stuff.
Apparently so. Maybe even Ike Reese will make an appearance.
Really?
No. a new season. Well, who knows? A new season of All or Nothing, the Philadelphia Eagles, February 7th, only on Prime Video. All of this is included with your Prime membership, so get it and get it. February 7th, only on Prime Video, a new season, All or Nothing, the Philadelphia Eagles.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.